Thank you very much, Pastor Randy. The family, friends, some people still remember me. Amen. Good. Maybe I'm haunting them in their sleep.
Never.
Yeah, my name is Peter Kumar. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Originally from India, a citizen of New Zealand. Lived in New Zealand for 11 years. Then God told me to move to America. He didn't say North America, South America. He told me specifically to move to America, so I just obeyed. Me, my wife, and children, we came here in 2007. My wife is a school teacher. She's visited this church. My children have grown up. They've gone back to New Zealand. I mean, they studied in the U.S., but they felt more comfortable in New Zealand. My daughter went back to New Zealand. My son is in Australia. So we are here having the greatest freedom. Amen. So I'm becoming an obedient husband. Did you say good man? Praise God, my wife is not here. Amen. And thank you, John. Thank you very much. And Pastor Randy. Yes, we've always felt Pastor Randy and the family, they have really trusted us. I've been here a few times, maybe I think two or three times. It's very strange.
Four times.
I was ministering in Toronto. An Indian lady came and said, would you go to Vancouver? There was a lady called Indira. She passed away. Such a lovely person. Such a lovely person. Received me in her house. Brought me here. Right here. Amen. Guys, yes, wherever I go, they're asking me about September 23rd. Tomorrow, right?
Well, you're here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to be with you. So you can't avoid me. How many of you are hearing all these teachings about September 23rd? Are they good stuff or? Are they good stuff? I'm not as spiritual as you are. Again, see, you're avoiding my question. Good, bad, or ugly? Terrible. Amen. So prophets are speaking terrible things. Yeah. Yeah, please, amen. They had a conference in North Carolina. One of the prophets, he stood up and said, America is going to be divided. So many things. Please, I mean, when the eclipse happened, people called me from around the world. They asked me, so Peter Kumar, where are we? Where are we? I mean, everybody's concerned about their life, right? Yeah, I was in California. A lady told me, I'm buying a property. I said, please buy. She said, you prophesied, I'll buy a property. I said, good, so please buy. Then she said, but everybody's talking about an earthquake. I said, who? She gave a list of all the prophets who've been saying there's going to be an earthquake. She said, so do you believe there will be an earthquake? I said, yes. So then she asked me, will the earthquake strike my property? What will you say? Please tell me. But you can be very spiritual. You can say God will provide, God will protect, God will send the legion of angels. I smiled and said, no, the earthquake will come, but it will hit the next property. She said, that's my sister's. Sometimes we get stuck, hallelujah. I told her, please buy. So she bought the property. She's very happy. Guys, yes, we are in the season of wars and rumors of wars. So we will hear more wars. Even today, I was listening to President Trump. He's calling the Rocket Man, and the Rocket Man is calling him a lunatic. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, presidents calling by names. And Canada is upset. Yeah, America cannot protect Canada. So we are living in a season where we thought it was far away, but suddenly it is coming to our doorstep. We thought it was far away. We always love prophecy because it's always far away. But when things begin to happen, my brother, my sister, then we question. We question our role. We question our prayer, our faith, our existence in the church, the role of the church. Everything's being challenged. Everything's being challenged. So personally, I've been asking the Lord what's going to happen. There are a few things which are going to happen more. More earthquakes. More nations will be shaken. More nations. So we need to really pray that God would protect our nation. In fact, the Lord told me there are certain nations, He had been protecting those nations, even New Zealand. He's been protecting those nations. So God says, yes, when my people cry, I will protect those nations. But there are certain nations which are directly going against God's purposes. The second thing, there will be more peculiar natural disasters. I see that more in Africa. We need to cry. We need to pray for Africa. Very peculiar things are going to happen. The third thing, yes, the chip culture will be acceptable. The chip, microchip. The microchip. Yeah, not fish and chips. Yeah, many preachers are going to say it is spiritual to take a chip. See, preachers can say anything. How many of you understand? Yeah, don't tell them that. Yeah, but like he said, we need to understand the scriptures and prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves. And then in some nations, millions are going to turn to the Lord. Canada is a nation where millions are going to turn. In the next 2 years, the greatest harvest in Canada is going to happen. Yeah. I live in the U.S. I cannot say that about the U.S. The U.S. is too fragmented. I've been living there for 10 years. It's very difficult to unite U.S. together. Well, they say we love America. America is first. But it's too divided spiritually, too divided in terms of economy. But Canada is different. I've traveled a lot in Canada. God is preparing this nation. If few people repent, the whole nation will repent. If few people repent. So when I say repent, I'm not saying confessing their sins. Anybody can confess a sin anytime. But repentance is being determined to step into the will of God, being determined to allow God to fulfill God's plan and purpose in their life, being determined to allow God to fulfill His plans and purposes, and being determined to project God in a manner in which the community will see God. Are you with me? So these things are going to happen. So we are looking for the best of times. Hallelujah. At least for Canada. Yeah. God has protected this nation. This nation will prosper. I've always said there's a lot of natural gas in Canada. But I don't know, but this is what God has been telling me. Particularly this region. This region. I may not be politically right, but this region, every time I look at this nation and pray, this region has a lot of natural. Fishing. A lot of opportunities in fishing. And now there's no wall, so many Americans are going to come here. Hallelujah. How will you stop them? Are you praying for a wall? Many Americans are going to move here. So when they move here, they will move with their wealth. See, America, I love America, please. I live there. But what is happening now is an unknown fear is spreading all across America. An unknown fear. So when fear comes, people try to move out. They try to move out. So it will be a huge blessing for Canada. So prepare yourselves. Canadians, prepare yourselves. Some of you would have prayed, cried, interceded, proclaimed, pronounced. But please possess. Are you with me? Yeah, many people do all these things without possessing. Say that, I will possess. One more time. One more time. Right. So, I asked Pastor Randy, what should I speak? He said, I trust you. Then I asked him, what are you speaking? He said, he spoke about forgiveness. But I'm going to talk about possessing a new beginning. Say that. A new beginning. One more time. Right. See, everybody understands a beginning. But very few people understand a new beginning. People who are connected to a beginning, they accept an end very easily. People who connect only to the beginning, they accept an end. But people who are having a revelation about new beginning, they will never plan for an end. They will never plan for an end. Because, see, please, God never stops working, right? Can you stop God from working? Okay. Can you stop God from working in your life? Now, please, see, around the world, when I ask people, what do you do? I'm retired. So when a person says, I'm retired, what are they saying? I'll tell you. A person who says, I'm retired in New Zealand, in Canada, what they're trying to say is, actually, I don't want God to work in my life. I'm depending on my pension. Please, I mean, God can love us. Many times God says, Peter, I cannot stop working, and I'm working everywhere. It's for you to make me work in your life. It is for you to make room. Say that, make room. One more time. One more time. The more room I create, the more God will work in your life and my life. I believe what God would speak through me would build me up. See, please, whatever I speak, it's to challenge myself. I've been in the ministry for 38 years. 38 years. This morning, my wife asked me, are you going to still run? Because from today, by December, I have to visit another 7 countries. She asked me, are you still going to run? Because every 3 days I'm on a plane. My life is different. I told John, I was in Toronto last week, went home on Tuesday night. There was a storm in New York, so my flight got delayed. It landed in a place called Raleigh, 2.5 hours from my house. I asked my wife, can I stay in New York, come the next day? I know my wife. My wife has said, no, I'll drive. I'll come and pick you up. She's a school teacher. She wakes up at 4, goes to school at 5. So she picked me up at 2. We drove, 4:30, we arrived at home, had a cup of tea, she went to school. I mean, it breaks my heart to make her work like that. Many people think a preacher's life is very easy. No. I mean, I won't call it a sacrifice. But we always look for new beginnings. So I asked her, what do you want me to do? She didn't say anything. Because I know she won't say anything. But the power of new beginnings. Are you with me? So I'm going to share a few scriptures. Can you put the scriptures first, sir? The book of Genesis chapter 27. I'm going to talk about a man called Jacob. Genesis chapter 27, verse 26 to 28. Genesis 27, 26 to 28. Then his father, Isaac, said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Okay, this is my son." The next one. "May God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine." See, this is a prophecy. How many of you like prophecies? So this is a powerful prophecy. Can you put it there? Four things. Dew of heaven. If you connect with the dew of heaven, then you connect with the fatness of the earth. If you connect with the fatness of the earth, then there's a lot of corn and a lot of vineyard. So this is the offer from God. This is the offer from heaven. This is the offer from the kingdom. See, please, I can use a lot of sacred language. I don't want to do that. I want to make it very simple. So, once again, dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Now, after this, if you read his life, whatever he did, he was successful. The right way, the wrong way. He was successful. And many times there were divine interventions. Angels appeared to him. In fact, he wrestled with God. He wrestled with God and he overpowered. In fact, God himself said, "You're the only man who strived with God. You overpowered." And every time there was a divine intervention, there was a promise. The promise was always, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. You're going to expand on the east, west, north, south." It was fabulous promises. How many of you understand that? See, every time God turns up, God speaks about two things. Number one, the offer and the season. Say that. Offer and the season. One more time. Offer and the season. So the season can be either a beginning or a new beginning. From a beginning, if you don't step into a new beginning, you will quickly go to the end. So what happens to this guy, even after receiving a prophecy like this, the book of Genesis chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. Genesis 42, verse 1 and 2. "When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, 'Why do you look at one another? I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die.'" What was the offer? Heaven's dew, fatness of the earth, lot of corn, lot of grain, and lot of vineyard. So where is he now? See, this is shocking. See, people talk about inheritance. People talk about legacy. People talk about kingdom living. This guy has a fabulous legacy. Abraham, Isaac. Isaac was a man who multiplied. He sowed in a season of famine, and he grew 100 times. How many of you know that? So, this man should have never come to a place like this. He's saying, "You have to get me some grain, otherwise we may not live. We will die." Chapter 43, verse 1 and 2, sir. "Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt." Again Jacob says, "Go back, buy us a little food. Now, some of you are wondering, what is this man trying to say? And some of you are saying, who cares about Jacob? What is this man going to say about me? See, we pray, please. Let's come to the foundations. Many of us, we pray all the time. I was in an intercessors group. This was in Indonesia. I do not know whether you noticed. In Indonesia, everything is loud, louder, and loudest. So this is a very big church. Indonesia has some of the biggest churches, 30,000 people. So the intercessors alone was about 2,000 people. And I was supposed to share. And they were screaming. So I asked the pastor's daughter, are they also spiritual? She said, no, Peter Kumar, all of them have so many problems. So they're just weeping and wailing. It really broke my heart. Intercessors. Then I began to see that pattern among many intercessors. People who are struggling. So I put a few points. Can you put it up, sir? We have to choose a beginning and a new beginning. This is my title. You cannot ignore the beginning, but from a beginning, you have to move to a new beginning. Then I'm saying, God does not stop working on our behalf. See, this is something we need to understand. This is something which we need to understand. God does not stop working on our behalf. We have to build the kingdom legacy. God would still say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and many times I've asked God, how could you still say, I'm proud to be a God of Jacob? He was a failure. Was he not a failure? I mean, he was a cheat. But God said, just shut up. You don't understand. You don't understand how I intervened and changed his life. We are called to bless the nation. Jacob ends up blessing the king. Jacob ends up blessing the whole nation. Promises and the prophetic work together. Yeah, I just wanted to leave it, sir. Listen, guys, listen. I don't want to preach too much. But we need to understand how things work. How things work. Come here, sir. James. Okay. I want you to work with me a little bit, okay? So listen. Jacob is the son of Isaac. Isaac is already a very wealthy man. And Jacob has a brother called Esau. And already he's plotting how to... Hallelujah. So all the time he's working on his plans. He doesn't care about God's plans at all. So he manages. He manages to cheat his father. Whatever happened. So, suddenly there is a prophecy. I don't think he ever expected a prophecy about heaven's dew, fatness of the earth, whatever it is. How many of you understand? See, please, prophecy comes to us in a season where God wants to stop our life and say, you have to choose my plans. Let me repeat. Please, many people do not understand the difference between prophecy and a fortune telling. Wherever I go, people ask me, give me a word. I said, for what? Then I ask them, if you receive a word, what will you do? From a beginning, whatever promises, whatever prophecy, it should literally stop our life and say, can you choose? Now see, the mandate was very, very clear. Heaven's due. That means you have to make heaven work on your behalf. Then you have to make the earth work on your behalf. Heaven should work on your behalf. Earth should work on your behalf. And the produce, The proof is a lot of grain and a lot of vineyard, whatever. But this guy chooses to work with sheep. So where does it connect? See, please, it's not wrong. Many people ask me, so Peter Kumar, is it wrong for me to do my own thing? What do you expect us to tell them? What do you expect us to tell them? It's easy for us to release a word. And people love the word. At that time, they say it's spot on. But the new beginning, they don't like that. So he goes and tends sheep. So he trains himself as a man who's going to have a farm. And then all his children, he trains them to bring up sheep. Except Joseph, all the others were only tending sheep. I meet so many people who say, but Peter Kumar, the prophecy is good, but I don't want a new beginning. See, please, he worked for his father-in-law. I mean, you know the story, right? 20 years he worked for the father-in-law. 20 years. Read for me, sir. Can you put the scripture, sir? Hello? The book of Genesis chapter 31. Sit down. I would need you. Genesis 31. Read from verse 3 to 6, sir. Return to the land of your fathers and to your family I will be with you. This again, God is giving him a new beginning. The next verse. So Jacob calls his wives. Okay, then. I see your father's countenance, it's not favorable. But my God is with me. The next verse. I have served your father. Actually, 20 years he serves Laban. Next verse. 10 times his wages have been changed. So how many of you would say he's living according to the promises and the prophecies? If he was doing well, it's okay. He's not doing well, but he's clinging on to that. Today, I meet many people who are like that. But Peter Kumar, why God is not blessing me in what I do? If you don't move to the new beginning, you will quickly move to the end. If I was with Jacob, come here, Jacob. See, I will tell him, okay, you have a passion for sheep, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. But along with the sheep, why don't you work on a field? Produce some corn there. What is stopping this man to step out? And then go. Buy some vineyards. Along with, say that along with. One more time. One more time. So this is where, my brother, my sister, we quickly fall short of heaven's expectation over our life. Many times God tells me, but Peter, I want to work in her life. But she's not making room. She's not making room. If this man understood heaven's purposes, along with. I don't meet too many Christians who like to do along with. I need you here. please, I mean, guys, a little bit about myself. I did my MBA, Master of Business Administration, in India. Those days, I did it in 1981. That was one of the best courses India was offering. So how do you know it's good? Recruiters will come to your campus, and even before you finish your course, they'll give you a job. And I was a topper, marketing. My whole plan was to start a marketing firm and then move and travel around the world. And I never wanted a God in my life. I was an atheist. Because anybody who comes and talks to me about God, anybody, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, I used to ask them two questions. If you talk so much about your God, show me what your God is doing in your life. I'll ask you the same question. So you can talk about God, but I'll ask you, show me what God is doing in your life. And the second question, show me what you and your God are doing together. So then they'll tell me, oh, you're crazy, you will never turn, God will judge you. I will laugh at them. I lived in a hostel 5 years. So people will begin to pray 3 days before the exams and 3 days after the exams and still fail. I remember there was a pastor's son in my class. In every exam paper, he will write, Jesus never fails. And the professor was a Hindu. He called this guy one day publicly and said, don't embarrass Jesus. I know Jesus never fails, but how come you always fail? So in every paper he used to write, blood of Jesus, Jesus never fails. I used to think he's crazy. But then I had an encounter. I saw Jesus in my room. I didn't know it was Jesus. I didn't know it was Jesus at all. I saw him as a man. He looked at me, and a voice within me said, this is Jesus. I couldn't believe. I said, why is Jesus in my room? And the voice said, God knows you. God has sent Jesus to meet you. Again, I thought it was just a dream. But he called my name 3 times. My Indian name is Nirmal, Peter Nirmal Kumar. He called my name 3 times and he disappeared. I went around the whole house, asked everybody in the house, did you see somebody? Did you see somebody? And then I pushed it away. I just pushed it away. I just said, okay, maybe it's a dream. Maybe I was very high. I used to drink a lot those days. Maybe I was high. And I just pushed it away. But after about 4 months, I met a man who was a Hindu convert, a postman. He looked at me and said, 4 months back, Jesus came into your room. I said, how do you know that? He said, this morning Jesus told me you're going to come and meet me. So guys, please listen. I didn't know promises, prophetic, nothing. But this was serious. I told him, please, it's not a joke. No kidding. He said, no. Jesus has been waiting for you. Then I said, why? Because I didn't understand anything. He said, God has plans for you. I said, okay, tell me a few plans. Tell me. So he said, you're going to go to many nations. I'm saying, nah, I'm going to get a job. You're going to preach about Jesus. I said, no way. No way. Because in India, those days, preachers have to live by what people give. So if they like you, they give. If they don't like you, they don't give. So whenever a preacher says, I'm fasting, I know they don't have money. See, sometimes when you're smart, you can see things. And then he kept on saying, you're going to heal people. And finally, one word he said. He said, you will wipe the tears from many people. It really shook me because I had lost my mom. And many times I used to sit alone and I used to cry. When Indian men cry, no tears. We know how to cry without tears. But I used to ask God, why did you do that? She died at the age of 36. Too young to die. So when he said that, it really hit me very hard. Because I needed so much of comfort. And I was willing to give comfort to anybody. So I just looked at him and said, so God told you all this. Did he tell you when I'm going to get my job? When I'm going to start my business? He said, but God said all this. I said, enough. Let's come. Let's be practical. I need a job. And I told him, this is my plan. I need to have a job, then a better job, and then the best job, and with the job, a business. And I want to go somewhere and settle in some country. I saw tears in his eyes. He said, but God has all these plans. I said, I heard that. Can you tell God I'm not interested in his plans? I'm interested in my plans. How many of you can be in that place? It's not difficult. So I was walking out of his house. I got to the door. He said, listen, Jesus came to your room. He called you by your name. Don't you want to know who this Jesus is? Who this Jesus is? I said, yes. Then he said, get a Bible, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. I smiled at him. I said, so just by reading a book, what will I get? What will I get? I've read many books. He told, that's the only way you can know who Jesus is. And that's your only hope. I went and bought a Bible. I threw it in my wardrobe and I said, I will never touch you. Please. I was very stubborn. Very stubborn. 6 months, I didn't even want to touch it. And then I said, okay, I will read 5 verses every day. So every day I'll pick up the Bible, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I won't understand anything. How many of you are in that place? I didn't understand anything. But after a while, I started getting involved in that. So by 1981, I finished my MBA. 1982, I told the Lord, I will follow you. Because the only thing which stuck in me is, follow me, I will make you. Follow me, I will make you. Follow me, I will make you. When I shared with my parents, my dad broke down and cried. He told me, my son, all the days of your life, you'll be a poor man. One of my brothers took me aside and said, don't ever visit my house because it will be too embarrassing for me to tell my children that you're my brother. See, please, having a new beginning is not easy. I would never call it a sacrifice. It's a mandate. It's a mandate. Every time God promises something, there's a huge expectation in heaven. And God begins to trust you. God begins to trust me. I read, Jesus appeared. So I started telling Jesus, can you show up in my room again? Please, this is the experience I have. Many times Jesus walks into my room. He sits in my bed. He tells me, I'm going to do this. I mean, I don't know what to call it. Anointing, intimacy. The words don't matter to me at all. Beginning and a new beginning. Beginning and a new beginning. Come here, Jacob. So here is a man who had a beginning with a lot of sheep. Was very successful. His brothers, his sons, were all successful. Of course, Joseph was removed from the family. He grieved. He really grieved. He missed Joseph. But he could not sustain the beginning. Say that, could not sustain. One more time. One more time. So the beginning took him to a place where he lost everything. It is a process. My brother, my sister, if we cannot provide an increase in our life, then we will begin to accept decrease as God's will. If we cannot provide, some of you are thinking now, please, if I do not know how I can create a godly increase in my life, say that godly increase. One more time. One more time. I will embrace a decrease, saying it is God's will for me. See, he can blame the market, he can blame the famine, he can blame God, he can blame the Holy Spirit, but he is in a place where he has to beg for grain. The offer through the promise, the offer through the prophecy was heaven's dew, fatness of the earth, large quantities of grain, and a lot of vineyards. But today he has nothing. He has nothing. So he's got a choice whether to accept an end or to prepare for a new beginning. Amen. How many of you are connecting with me? How many of you are connecting with me? So, can you put those points, sir? Sit down. You know, I'm from India. Indians are very spiritual. Very, very spiritual. Recently, I was in India. I went and preached in a church. It's a Pentecost church. See, Indian Pentecostals, they wear white. Have you heard that? They don't wear colors at all. So, I prayed for the pastor and the whole family. And the pastor's mom was there. So if pastor is Pentecostal, moms are super Pentecostal. So all this white sari, and she was like this. So I asked, mom, can I pray for you? She said, no need. I know how to pray for myself. So I expected that, but I never give up. I said, I know you know how to pray for yourself, but still, I'm visiting your house. I had a meal in your house. Can I just say a prayer of blessing? She said, if God tells you, I mean, how many of you have been there? If God tells you, I said, mom, please, even if God doesn't tell me, can I pray for you? She said, finally, if you want. So she's standing like this, hands folded, very reluctant. Now, I mean, I have my own way. Don't try that. It won't work. I smiled at her and said, mom, what should I pray for? She said that God would take me today, take me to heaven to be with her. She said it so clearly that God would take me today to be with him in heaven. Now everybody looked at me. Her granddaughter was about 8 years old. She was doing something there. She said, uncle, no, in India we call uncle. Uncle, please pray. Let me see whether God will answer your prayers. Because 4 years she's been telling this to everybody. And everybody has prayed for her. And she's still alive. And she's eating my head all the time. New beginnings. See, God does not stop working on our behalf. See, please understand, guys. This is what I'm going to take some time. Come here, sir. When you are in the end, when I am close to the end, how does God work? Listen. God preserves a Joseph. Say that God preserves a Joseph. See, the promise and the prophetic will always preserve people whom God has protected to bless us. Joseph's brothers put him in the pit. But Pharaoh was waiting for Joseph. If Joseph would have said, "Thank you for the pit, God. I love the pit. I've never been in a pit all my life. If only you could make my pit slightly bigger and fix some air conditioners there. Please," I meet many Christians like that. They forget their mandate. They like to settle in the pit. God moved mightily in Joseph's life in the prison. He had a powerful ministry in the prison. He could have said, "I'd rather be here and serve everybody." You have to understand, my brother, my sister, when David said, "I'm going against Goliath," his own brother said, "Just shut up. Go after your few sheep." I like the way he said, "few, few." You could have just said, "Go to your sheep." But you know, family rubs the hardest. Hallelujah. So when Jacob is struggling, God raises a Joseph. And God gives wisdom, prophetic wisdom to Joseph, to create an increase on behalf of Jacob. If you ask God, "Why are you blessing Egypt?" God will not say, "Because Joseph is there, because those people are praying." God will say, "So that Jacob will come and possess." Can we give a clap offering? How many of you understand what I'm talking? The whole nation of Egypt worked on its behalf. The whole nation. Joseph, read for me. Thank you, sir. The book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 9. Genesis 42, verse 9. The time is 8:30. Can I take another 15 minutes? Is it okay? Are we talking some good stuff? See, Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed about them. The moment Joseph saw his brothers, he remembered the dreams about them. So every day, Joseph was serving on behalf of his family because he knew that God had shown a dream about him, his whole family. Today, the problem some of us have is, even though many people have prophesied over us, we isolate ourselves. Two things isolate us. Number one, circumstance, which grows into problems. The more you feed your circumstance, it becomes your Peter Kumar, you don't understand. Peter Kumar, you don't understand. Peter Kumar, you don't understand. A man went to a psychiatrist and he said, "I'm having so many problems. I think my whole brain is fried up. I need some advice." So the psychiatrist said, "Please have a seat." The guy had put on a lot of jackets, overdressed, and he was wearing a huge top hat. So the psychiatrist said, "Why don't you feel comfortable? You can take off all your jackets." So he said, "Thank you." He took off all his jackets, put it there. And then the man said, "Why don't you take off your hat? Be comfortable." The man said, "No, nobody touches my hat. Nobody touches my hat. I sleep with my hat on. I take a shower with my hat on. I never take my hat on." So the psychiatrist said, "Fine. If it suits you, fine." So he was sitting there and he was going on talking about his problems. And the psychiatrist was just walking around him. At one stage, the psychiatrist, he pulled the top hat from behind, and there was a crippled monkey sitting on his head. And the man was very angry. He said, "What have you done? Now you see my problem. This monkey has been sitting on my head for many years. So I can't think. I can't do anything." So the psychiatrist looked at the monkey. The monkey was pleading him. The monkey said, "I was doing my own thing. This guy pulled me from my tree, put me on his head, and put this huge hat on top of me. Many times I told him, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. And he never left me. I had to suffer with this guy." The more spiritual you become, the more monkeys on you. The more spiritual you become, the more monkeys under your hat. You know, I'm close to Rick Joyner's church. Hallelujah. Whenever I go there, somebody comes and says, "Peter Kumar, I still don't understand my anointing. I don't know why they ask me. I still don't know my calling. I don't know in which heaven I am. Am I ascending or descending?" The more spiritual you become, you can also become very confused. See, please, even if God's work is not really visible in your life, God does not stop working. Say that God does not stop working. When Joseph was in the prison, God was working in the palace, telling Pharaoh, "Get this man, get this man, get this man." When Joseph was in the palace, God was working in the whole nation, providing an increase. That's how the prophetic works. That's how the prophetic works. When you receive a prophetic word, go home and immediately write down what you expect God to do on your behalf. When I moved to New Zealand from India, God told me, "I'm going to take you to many countries." I said, "Excellent. Hallelujah." Then he said, "You should not apply for a job. You should not start a business." How many of you can handle that? So I told my wife. My wife is a good girl. She said, "I will work hard and support you." I said, "Are you crazy? I'm supposed to go to many nations. How will you support me?" Now, Indians are very helpful people. If you want to die, before you die, they'll dig a grave and they'll push you in. You just need to say, "I feel like dying," they'll bury you. So one Indian guy came to me and he said, "What is your normal prayer time?" Those days I was very spiritual. 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. was my prayer time. So he came to me and said, "There's a chain of stores, like Walmart." He said, "They are looking for people who could do the midnight shift, 12 to 6. So the job is to organize stuff on the shelf." I told him, "I'm not supposed to apply for a job." He said, "You don't apply. I spoke to the manager. He's willing to take you." That's a miracle. Then I said, "But it's my prayer time." He said, "You pray. While praying, just arrange. Prayerfully arrange the shelf. Let them pay for your prayer." How many of you like that? You pray, they pay. It was very difficult for me to say no. Then he took me to the benefit, we call it Vince. So he told me, "I'm going to take you to this place." I mean, coming from India, we didn't know that at all. He said, "Go to that officer and say, I'm applying for a paternity allowance." I said, "What is paternity allowance?" "You say, your wife is kind of wayward. She's not responsible. I said, but she is responsible. But he said, she's not going to come and check in your house. You just say. And they'll give you a benefit every week. In New Zealand, benefit comes every week. I said, how much is the benefit? $182 every week. I said, but I'm supposed to go to many nations. He said, Peter Kumar, forget it. I didn't even have a car at that time. So I told him, if God sends me, will you give me a ride to the airport? He said, no, I will never give rides to idiots. See, please, we receive a prophecy, but to create that new beginning is not easy. It's not easy. Many times I told God, I don't understand. I don't understand. It is not visible. But then tickets used to come. Those days, paper tickets. Tickets used to come. I don't even know who would send the tickets. And I would just go. So the first thing we need to understand is God works on our behalf. The second thing, the book of Genesis chapter 45, verse 9 to 12, sir. 9 to 12. Come here, Jacob. Now go up to my father and say to him, okay, this is what Joseph says, the next verse. See, already the man is giving the new beginning. Goshen is the real estate. Even today, Goshen is the best real estate in Egypt. It is a place where the rich people stay. So the whole thing is given. Come, you're going to be with me, you, your children, everybody. Verse 11, I will provide for you so that you will not go into poverty. And there are still 5 years of famine. So what is he saying? Dad, 2 years you've suffered. Now 5 years you're going to be in plenty. In the season of famine, the new beginning takes you into plenty. In the season of famine, please, when God works on your behalf, in the season of famine, God takes you into the plenty. And finally, the book of Genesis chapter 47, thank you, sir, verse 6 to 8. Can you come and softly play the keyboard, ma'am? The land of Egypt is before you. The whole nation has been waiting for Jacob. The whole nation. My brother, my sister, for some of you, you may say, Peter Kumar, you don't understand. The prophetic. God told me nations. 1984, I was sitting in a meeting. It was a youth meeting. I had to preach. A lady just walks up to me and says, in one day you will meet 3 nations. I got very upset. I said, you have no business to talk to me like that. I had never been on a plane till then. Yeah, how many of you know going on a plane is very expensive? I saw she was trembling. And she said, son, when it happens, come and meet me. It started happening about 16, 17 years back. The lady is now 80 years old. I still work with her. I went and told her, it's happening. She hugged me and she cried. And she asked me, how come you never believed? The last 2 years, God has been telling me, I wanted to sit with presidents. Yes, Peter Kumar is a very simple man. Presidents have called me as a man of God. I was sitting with this Buddhist president, Sri Lanka. They told him, this man's God talks to me. They didn't even tell him I'm a preacher, nothing. They flew me down to Sri Lanka to be there only for 7 hours. The whole instruction was, I should not meet anybody else. They meet me in the airport. put me in the nation's guest house, 2 hours with the president. The president looked at me. I asked God, see, this is where it is. How God works on your behalf. I'm flying to the nation. I asked God, tell me what's going to happen. He told me 5 things about this man, 5 things about the nation. You don't need to talk anything else. So they give a lot of rules, protocol. How many of you know protocol? You have to wear this kind of dress. You have to sit like this. You have to address him as Mr. President. You can't just put your hand out and say, hey, dude, how are you? And you cannot speak religion at all. So I understood. So it was a glass house. I'm sitting there with this man. Security, everybody watching. Twice he got up and put his hand out. I didn't know what to do. So after about 40 minutes, he called some of the ministers and said, whatever this man says, take it. We need to implement it. And after that, 3 times he's called me just to spend time. Now, why do I say this? Please, you may say, but Peter Kumar, it may happen to you. It may not happen to me. Why? Promise and a prophetic is the greatest package heaven gives. When you receive a promise and when you receive a prophecy, that means heaven is determined to work on your behalf. Some of us have strived. We've been honest. We've been people of integrity. We've been serving God diligently. Circumstance which can become a problem. Today I'm not teaching you to deal with that. No. Don't deal with that. God will take you through that into a place which is prepared for us. Guys, Canada is at the verge of the greatest revival. Canada is at the verge of the greatest prosperity. And we have been faithful in small things. God will honor us. God will honor us. Some of you may say, but Peter Kumar, give me 21 steps. No, I'm not giving you even one step. Many preachers, they make it so difficult, right? If I can just go to heaven, I can go anywhere. Hallelujah. Don't let preachers make it difficult. Today you tell the Lord, put your hand on your heart. Everybody say this. God, I thank you for the promises you have prepared. Great blessings for me. God, thank you for the prophetic. You're determined to release them into my life. Prepare my heart. I will step into the fullness. My God will never fail. But please, trust me. Trust me, Lord. I will not fail you. I need to be a blessing to this nation. To this nation. You are going to work on my behalf. Please, guys. And my God is willing to work on my behalf. Why should I look at my circumstance? Why should I look at the things that are not happening? I want to call about 10 people. I want to pray for you. And then I want to give the meeting to Pastor. Come here, ma'am. Yes, you. Come here, ma'am. Yes. Come here, ma'am. You. Yes. This couple, please come. Come here. Sister. Is she allowed to come? You're not going to protect her. I take her by force. Come here, sir. Come here, sir. Come here, ma'am. Would you like to come? Yes. Come here, sir. Come here. Would you like to come? Yes. Come here, sir. Come here, ma'am. Come here, sir. You. Come here, ma'am. Yes. See, I called 10 and it's just going. My wife always, she's a math teacher. She says, if you say 10, stop is 10. Come here, the couple. Yes. Guys, were you encouraged? Were you encouraged tonight? We don't need to run after that. When God has done it, He will take us. Come here, sir. You. You've been in the ministry. You're a very faithful person. You have a heart of an evangelist. But sometimes you wonder why things are just dropping off my hands. In the last 4 years, there's been a lot of struggle. And you feel you have to work very hard. Your left knee is much weaker than your right knee. You have a lot of pain in your left shoulder. And finances are not coming. But you're a man who's very honest. Today God wants me to say, your call is to go to many nations. Your call is to travel all across America. You will begin to preach. People that shut you down, God is calling you back. But the family situation, leave it to God. God is doing a new thing. God will reorganize it. God bless you. Amen. You're asking a lot of questions. If I pray, what will happen? If I do this, what will happen? Because you want to see results. The last 1.5 years, it's as if you're getting very tired and exhausted. You're pulling out of many things. You're a genius. This is what God wants me to tell you. You put up your desires and you be careful with your friends. Many of your friends are very discouraging. They are discouraging. They don't let you grow. I'm not saying change them. But you're a leader. Instead of leading, you're following them. You will be a businessman. You will travel to many countries. One of your heart's desires is to serve the poor. You will have money to give them. God will bless you. You're like an Elijah, a man who weeps for a nation. You weep for repentance. Many people find you too forthright. But you have a heart of compassion. You're crying for this nation. You've seen many visions and dreams of revival. You're trying to recruit young people whom you can train to send in this nation. But you don't know how to go about it because many churches are not open for that. God is sending you a team. There will be signs and miracles. You have declared a lot of things over this nation. Even about governmental things. You will see that happen in the next 1.5 years. Everything will be fulfilled. People have put you to public shame. God is going to exalt you and make people honor you. People who spoke against you will disappear. God is great. You've never asked God for a money, a land, a house. A house of worship and prayer. God is giving it to you. God bless you, sir. You're an intercessor. God is touching your spinal cord. God is healing your heart. You don't believe so much in medication. Your hearing will improve. Your legs will become strong. And something about your daughter, God is transforming her life. You have a passion for nations. You want to take teams to nations. You have a prophetic ministry. But there are three things God wants me to say. Don't be afraid of relationships. Don't be afraid of marriage. Forget what happened. Yes. It happened. Move on. You will have family. You will have children. And sometimes you say, if I have all that, I cannot serve God. No. You will serve God along with that. And finances. There will be business people who will help you. Not do business, but you will connect business people. The next visits are going to be in South America. God is going to take you to Brazil. God is going to take you to Puerto Rico. All these nations. You will move in prophecy and healing. I won't say rejection, but you've set up a wall around you. Break that wall. People will love you. People will honor you. You've been praying for a financial blessing. It's coming. Before the close of this year, you have invested in certain places. You're supporting ministries. And you want to give it as an inheritance to your family. Do that. God will honor you. But there are people in your family who don't believe. You have made a list of them. You're praying for them every day. God will turn their hearts. You're very bold. You like to do so many things. You want to go. You want to go to Israel. You want to do things. You have a heart for the Jewish people. Many things have been taken away from you. You've learned to live without them. But now you're longing for a family. You're longing for your children to be around you. It will happen. God is doing that. You're a Bible teacher. You know the scriptures. You move in the gift of prophecy. No retirement for you. No retirement. You will do ministry in houses. Many non-Christians will come. You have a heart for other communities. I also see Indians connected to you. You say it's over. It's not over. It's been affecting you. Mentally. Emotionally. For nearly 20 years. Things have not gone well in the family. Then you came to know God. You're walking with God. But you're saying, what can I do? Today God says, you have said first few things. Number one, for people to repent. They will repent. Certain finances which belongs to you have been taken away. They will come to you. You'll be surprised. You will be accepted. God will honor you. Amen. Both of you are in the beginning. New seasons. See, sometimes you feel like resigning and just doing whatever God says. So happy. Listen. Both of you, in your conversation, you say, we have to do more, we have to do more, we have to do more. You want to travel to certain nations. You want to work with women. You want to work with trafficking of children. So many things. But it's not just money. You don't know where to start, how to start. And you want to connect with some ministry. But there's been a lot of delays. You will start doing things here. Young people are going to come into your house. I see another house. You'll be surprised where a lot of people will come and stay. That will become your ministry. Yeah, see, please, it's not an orphanage. It'll be, yeah. So things are beginning to happen. Money will come, and you will take teams to nations. You will take teams. You have never struggled. Both of you are very positive. Extreme faith. God will honor you. So what is the sign to begin? You will begin to heal people. Many healings. You had certain gifts, even prophecy, but because certain things happened, you buried it. Get it back. God's going to use you mightily. Amen. Both of you, you're very different. He's a very practical man. You're trying to be practical, but you're very scared. for the last 3 months, you've been crying a lot. You've been pushed aside. Even in your workplace, a lot of things are happening. Sometimes you want to move out. Don't do that. Stay. God is preparing you for a promotion. Both of you, I don't know why I say this. I see children. I see a home. He doesn't want to work all his life. He wants to be a businessman, and you're so scared because he went through huge losses. But he will be a businessman. He will take you to many countries. He will work for a while, but forget the past. Many people destroyed your life, even some family members. They cursed you, but God protected you. He's giving you life. He's giving you love. Accept it. New beginning. God will honor you. You know, you are a wealth of talents. You have too many talents. But you have a lot of discouragement. Because of the discouragement, you're not flowing well. You don't need to be super spiritual. You're looking for a team. You're looking for a good job. And you want to move to America and do certain things. God is going to do all that. But relationships are not happening. Many people have broken their heart, broken your spirit. So you're too scared to step into ministry. God is being the person. You will be preaching, you will be teaching, you will be mentoring a lot of young people. You are a mentor. God is being used for mentoring. Amen. You know, you are a dreamer. Many times God has spoken specifically to you. And you are a man who implicitly obeys God. You never doubt. You never run after prophets. You never run after prophecies. Right from young age, your spirit is so tuned to hear from God. But for the last 2 months, you're asking this question. I've lived a life like this. What am I supposed to do the rest of my life? 4 things. Be faithful to your call. Be faithful to your church. Your family, they will look at you and they will say, you're an amazing man. But a simple desire. You want to have a place where you can rest. God is providing a place. But don't be afraid to travel. You will travel with a team. Evangelist, healing and deliverance. God is going to take you. Amen. Amen. You're extraordinarily gifted. Music, songs, composing songs, dance, choreography. But as you grow up, you will become very creative. You will be a public image, a motivational speaker, and you will walk with politicians. Sometimes when you're alone, you keep talking to yourself. You always say, am I doing the right thing? You are doing the right thing. In fact, you will be a leader in the family. People will follow you. God is turning your life. You're doing simple things, but God is going to completely change your life. You will be involved in business. You've always said, I will not involve, you will involve. You will not invest. In fact, God is going to give you both. Where is He? A new business. This is not going to be your main business. Something which is completely different without any investment. That will free you up to travel in this nation. You will travel to many countries. You will do something unique in Israel. Prepare yourself. God is calling you for something big. You're a man who likes to go on and on and on. You love the Lord passionately. No restrictions. God has given you health. You're able to do whatever you can. And you always say, I don't want to wait for people to do it. But you're crying for revival. You want to travel. You want to see this land when God is moving mightily. It will begin to happen. You will begin to preach. You will begin to teach. Mostly outside the walls of the church. outreaches, and you will take back the power to heal. But finances, call forth, call forth, call forth. God's going to give you wealth. It's interesting. Not just money, people, opportunities, and people who will really bless you. Tickets will come. You will travel. You're really praying for a vacation. God's going to send you tickets. God's going to honor you. Amen. You're trying to make many changes in your life, because in some ways you've come to an end. Whatever you're doing is slowly shutting down. So you don't know what to do. Should you let it shut down or to start something new? Start something new. But you will not invest. I'm bringing people. Asians will connect with you. Hispanics will connect with you. You will develop a large piece of land, property, and your business will also change. You have a lot of experience and finances. You'll be surprised. It'll be like a trust, a financial institution, and you will teach people how to multiply their finances. God has given you the wisdom. People broke your life. You had to go into hiding for a while. Come out. God is calling you. God bless you. Guys, listen to me. When God makes a promise, it's an offer. When God makes a promise, it's an offer. When God confirms it in the prophetic, that means He's already released it. God will not talk about things which He has not released. Please. Many people don't understand the prophetic. That is why we want confirmation after confirmation about confirmation. God said once, let there be a son. There was a son. God doesn't need to say it 21 times. Let there be a son. Imagine what will happen. But many of us, we train ourselves only to receive confirmation. Prophetic. God says, my word will not return to me. Yeah, it always carries kingdom substance. So I need to prepare myself for new beginnings. Why new beginnings? Because we understand the call. I am going beyond the call for mandate. Becoming a blessing to a nation. Think about it. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.